What's up, guys, and welcome back to the Impact Defense Podcast. In this podcast, or in this episode, we're going to be talking about actually like traveling overseas and being safe when traveling overseas. Okay, back with us this episode is Gentry.
Hi.
Hello.
It almost seems like it's getting a little bit weird when you mention that I'm back again.
Yeah. I referred to you this morning as our series regular.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you have a recurring role on the Impact Defense Podcast.
That's right.
Yep.
Not completely permanent, but you know.
Not here for every episode,
right.
But it's never a surprise when you're here.
Exactly.
Yeah. So just, you can basically count on the fact that every few weeks you're going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, we can't move further on in the podcast without mentioning the official fuel of Impact.
Blackout coffee.
Yep. Blackout coffee. Jada has a nice like coffee slam. Kylie is screaming it. Today we are drinking Betsy's blend again. So it is raspberry. I'm trying to make sure I say it in the right order. Raspberry, white chocolate, and blueberries.
Yes, red, white, and blue.
Yeah, that's the reason I was saying it in that order. So, yeah, I'll be completely honest with you. The very first time I took a sip of it, it was a little bit of a shock. Because, like, wow, I didn't expect it. It's a very strong flavor. But it's good. It's like, whoa, I didn't expect that. So, I don't think it's Jada's favorite.
No, but Jada doesn't like blueberry flavored things. Yeah. Or people who talk in the third person, so I apologize for that.
All right. So we're going to get on into the podcast. Oh, wait. Before we do that, let me mention, because it's super important, if you are interested in some Blackout Coffee, go to www.impactgear.live/coffee. And then if they don't have a sale going on, be sure to use the coupon code Impact Defense, because that will always get you 10% off. That is Impact. Darn it. Why did I?
Impactgear.live/coffee.
Thank you. The words that you just said. All right. So anyway, moving on, we're going to get to the podcast. Now, I'm going to be completely honest with you, and I think I've said this in an earlier podcast, everything that we are doing in this kind of self-defense and travel kind of series that we have been working through has all come from a particular bodyguard course that I actually took. So I went away and got to train with a bunch of guys because of some people that I know that were doing that were either bodyguards already or getting certified to be bodyguards or whatever. And it was a lot of fun times. And we learned a lot. And one of the things that the guy said, and this has been a couple years ago, one of the things that the guy said was that you can also take all of these things and then use that to protect yourself. So his whole idea was to get people to think about self-defense in a different way when it came to defending others, but also when it comes to defending yourself. So some of these things through this series may seem a little bit extreme, but remember, we're going to go ahead and just giving all of that information, and then you guys can kind of pick and choose what you're going to do from there. No matter what, everyone definitely should. If you're going to be traveling overseas, the first thing you need to do, not necessarily
the first thing you need to do, but an important thing to do.
Yes, is to call your bank or credit card company and let them know before you go that you will be using a card overseas, because they may freeze your account and you be stranded overseas and not have a way to pay for anything. And that would suck. I don't know about you guys, but I have definitely gotten a call from my bank before that says, "Hey, Brian, you're not in Germany, are you?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "No, why?" She said, "Because somebody just tried to use your card in Germany for a flight to England." And I was like, "Nope, that's not me." So thank God at least my bank called me before they just shut everything right down. Because if I was overseas, then, you know, that would be super important. But, yeah.
And you were like, "I'm in America. Why would I need to go to Europe?" Sorry.
It's all good. But I say all of this, I've actually never traveled overseas. So both Jada and Gentry have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I guess I'm such a homebody. I have been where I could see Canada. Just, hey, look. I was standing there with Kylie. Look, that's Canada.
I've technically been in like joint Canada and U.S. waters.
Yeah.
But have not technically had to show my passport to get to Canada. So there's no stamp on my passport that says I've been to Canada.
Yeah. But.
But I've sort of been to Canada.
Yeah, that's as far as Kylie and I. That's the closest we've ever come to being overseas, and it wouldn't have been overseas anyway.
Right. I was waiting for that part to come up.
Yeah, it was just kind of like,
really count.
I haven't been super far away. I haven't been super far away. I've been to Jamaica, Haiti, Mexico, and one other, Curacao.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much about the same.
About the same.
Pretty much Jamaica, Cancun, and the Bahamas. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we both haven't been really past the Caribbean. So.
I had no reason to.
Why would you want to go past the Caribbean? Caribbean's lovely.
However, it's been probably almost 20 years.
Oh, really?
Since I left the country.
Okay. So
mine's only been about 5 years. Mm-hmm. 5 years.
If Jadis was 20 years ago, she probably wouldn't remember it.
She probably would not.
I would not.
So.
Oh, man, it's too bad we didn't have my dad on the podcast. He's been to Israel.
Oh. Well, that was great. You should have let us know maybe before we started the podcast. I said, hey, I know a good one for to be a guest on this podcast, my dad.
I mean, we could just always have him as a special guest later.
If we want to revisit this topic again. We're going to move on. Okay, first off, make sure you tell your bank and your credit card company so they don't freeze your accounts when you're over across anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And that, I know I joke about overseas, but I mean, if you go to Mexico, technically that's not overseas either.
Right.
But if you go to Mexico and you start using your credit card, you may be flagged.
Yeah.
Same thing in Canada. Why is everybody yawning on the podcast?
I'm not. I'm good.
Thank you.
I'm tired.
You. It means you have not had enough coffee. Keep going. All right. Another thing that we want to do is probably use traveler's checks and cards, you know, prepaid cards, credit cards, debit cards, something like that, instead of cash. Because I think especially if you know where you're going and you know that tourists, we've discussed this before, tourists are popular targets. Mm-hmm. Because they don't know their way around, they can be more easily fooled and taken advantage of. So if you're a tourist who's flashing around a lot of cash, mm-hmm. you're going to be a big mark.
What do you think about using a dummy wallet?
You know, as far as just like walking around in a local area, if I'm walking up and down the streets of our local mm-hmm. town, I am not going to do that. Mm-hmm. But like if I'm going to go overseas, mm-hmm. That actually is not a bad idea.
As far as my own personal experience goes, when I went to Curacao, they had several weeks of training before we went because it was a mission trip with a outreach ministry, Word of Life. Mm-hmm. They have a college and things, but they did several weeks where we would go in and do prep work, and they would tell us a little bit about the culture and the environment there, like what was frowned upon that's not frowned upon in the States, what's okay in the States but frowned upon there, just several things like that. But one of the things that they prepped us for was for some general tourist safety. And one of the things that they said was hide your valuables, mm-hmm. get something that is a little bit more discreet, where it will don't keep your belongings in one place. Mm-hmm. So what I did when I went there was I actually purchased an under the clothes fanny pack looking thing mm-hmm. that was waterproof, and it basically would go around your waist and sit just under your waistband mm-hmm. so that you couldn't see it if your shirt was lifted up or anything like that. But that's where I kept my passport, which I had copies of my passport and my important identification items in my suitcase that was in a more enclosed location. But my actual one was on my person underneath my clothing, along with more substantial amounts of the money that I brought so that I wasn't leaving that unattended. And no one ever knew I carried it, even the people that came with me on the mission trip. Not because I just don't trust people, but I don't trust people.
yeah.
No, yeah. But also, I mean, that's just smart. And I've actually also seen, like, where people keep their ID and other things, where there's this, it was kind of similar, but it was around the neck.
Like a lanyard with a...
It had a lanyard,
yeah. Yeah, so usually that stuff shows on me under my clothes.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you're tiny.
Yeah, so that one was a little bit...
Maybe if you're wearing your hoodie like you are today.
Yeah, but I was in the Caribbean.
On a missions trip, which is very, very hot.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, let's say you wasn't in the Caribbean and maybe you were going to Canada, you know, overseas to Canada.
Yeah, that would be a little bit different. But yeah, no, I kept, I did keep a bag on me that had like an extra article of clothing and a little bit of cash. And I would just, if I was going to buy anything, I would use the little bit of cash that I was keeping in my main bag. Mm-hmm. That way, if someone... you know, were to try and rob me or anything, they weren't getting a substantial amount of anything or anything important, just like an extra article of clothing, some water, and, you know, $10.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that I've seen, like, you know, I know you've seen these, like, little minimalist wallets. Mm-hmm. I started carrying those after a while, but I think maybe if I was to go overseas where I thought that, like, there was a higher risk of being targeted, then maybe I would put more traditional wallet in my back pocket with a little bit of money in it or a couple little things in it just to make it look like they feel like they've gotten something and then keep a minimalist wallet maybe in my front pocket or something along those lines. Another thing that you want to think about is kind of learning key phrases maybe before you go, you know? ¿Dónde está el baño?
Yes, I took the time to learn. It was Papiamento is what they spoke in. And pardon me if I pronounced that wrong. But it was Papiamento that they used in Curaçao. And I learned basic phrases like, where is the bathroom? And, you know, just general questions. And it was not... You know,
where is the bathroom? That is a fairly important. That's why I said learn key phrases, don't ask al baño.
Yes, guys, if you are going anywhere where you are not sure that most people will speak your language, just... learn how to say, where is the bathroom? It's pretty important. And if you're staying for a prolonged period of time, do you have a plunger is a good one to learn. Now, I say this not because of any kind of horrific bathroom experience. Okay,
that's what I was wondering.
You're now going to be acting it out over here like you're plunging.
This was a personal experience I had, and I know this isn't super relevant to the podcast, but you know what? People listen because it's funny. So it was not a toilet that I needed the plunger for. Oh. So I know. I'm getting weird looks. But... they had just built the area that we were staying in. Like, we got there and, like, our beds hadn't been built yet. We were sleeping on beds made out of pallets. And so, you know, we got there and started helping them build beds for us to sleep on. Mm. Well, they had also just laid the concrete for the showers. And there was not very good planning on their part because they didn't make a slant in the bathroom floor. Mm. So nothing was stopping the water from just...
pulling up.
Yes. Someone took such a long shower that the entire bottom of the shower filled up and started overflowing into the room where all of our luggage was. And so people's luggage is getting soaked. And I walk into the bathroom to this. And like I walk in, I'm like, why is the floor flooded into the whole area? I'm the only one here except for the people who don't speak English that are outside working on things. And, so I walk in and the whole floor is flooded. People's stuff is getting soaked. I look in the bathroom and I realize it's because someone over flooded the shower and like didn't even try to stop it. They had to have seen it. Mm. And so here I am. I throw some towels over to try and soak up some of the water so it stops overflowing actively. Get the nozzle completely cut off because it was drip. Yeah. And then start pulling people's stuff up and ripping their sheets and mattresses off of the bed and putting and pushing it to the end and throwing their luggage on top of their beds to where it won't soak their beds or their sheets, and but also won't, you know, soak their luggage. And so I run out. I'm like, the only way that this is going to be fixed is if I can unclog the drain that's in the shower, because I went and checked that, like stuck my hand there, and it was just something stopping it from completely draining. And I was like, I need a plunger. And so I'm running up to all of these people going, do you have a plunger? And they're like.
And you know that they're.
And, you know, and I'm getting, you know, the no English speech. Yeah. And I was just going, oh my gosh. So I'm sitting here trying to act out what a plunger is. So I said bathroom and started doing this. And so, of course, they think I've done something horrendous to this restroom. But I'm sitting here trying to save everyone's stuff because there's no washer or dryer. Like I said, they were building this location that we were staying in so that we could stay there and help with some things and run this location. Because they were running an event center for kids.
Okay.
And they were just building it. And so we were supposed to come this week and run like a vacation Bible school for these kids. Mm. Which Curacao is not a third world country. It's fairly middle class, but they generally, you know, America's middle class is not the same as other countries' middle class. But I don't remember the full outcome of the story. I remember that I got the water stopped and that someone came in and helped me with it. Mm-hmm. But they were mad at me because they thought I flooded. And I was sitting here trying to explain in a language that I don't know that I walked into this and I'm trying to fix it for everyone. And so like they're yelling at me for using too much water, like all of this stuff. And I'm just sitting here like, I'm just trying to keep everyone's stuff dry.
Yeah.
Because someone ditched this.
Ugh.
And so it eventually got explained and, you know, they thanked me for helping. But, of course, I am a very, like, non-confrontational person and a very much a rule follower. So I was just, you know, crippled that they thought I was screwing up everyone's week on purpose. But, yeah, so that's how I ended up having to figure out, you know, how to ask for a plunger in another country. So just, you know, learn the phrase, do you have a plunger?
You probably won't.
And it wasn't me.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, just so you know, the same rules for de-escalation apply in another country that apply in America. Just slowly, calm gestures. Don't be super crazy. And, you know, yeah.
So another thing is make sure you have a current map or download on your phone a current map of the area that you're going to be staying in and kind of know the locations of hospitals, police stations, and possibly the American embassy. You know, that it's just, it's good information to have if you're going to be around in an area that's unfamiliar to you.
And really know where you're headed to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, where are you going to check in? Things like that.
Yeah. The less that you look like.
Right.
You don't know where you are, the less you are likely to be selected as a target.
Mm-hmm. It's a good idea to look up like the clothing styles and everything in the country. Like there were,
so you don't stand out like a sore thumb?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and certain countries have different like modesty things that they would see as abnormal and everything. So that definitely helps. That was something that we were educated in when we went.
It's good because you really should know about like the just overall culture.
Right.
You know, am I going to do things to accidentally offend somebody? You know, in certain cultures, if I just go okay with the little okay symbol, you know, that's calling someone a butthole. Yep. So different things mean different things in different places.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you probably want to like research maybe the crime statistics and look up like the Department of State Travel has like warnings and alerts for certain places, but like have an idea of what it's like where you're going. Okay. Now we live in an information age. It is really super simple to like look up and go like, oh, okay. Like if I'm going to stay in this area, what's crime like in that area? Mm-hmm. You know, so you know what you're kind of up against in situations.
Also just how the phone systems operate.
Yeah. I mean, if you have like, is there a basic phone system even in the area? How does the phone system work? And then your cell phone. Because sometimes
will it work in this area?
Yeah, will it work in the area with the service you have? Do you need to get a different SIM and drop it in your phone and all that kind of stuff? And Jada, you were away more recently. Did you have like? Did you need to put like a new SIM in your phone or anything like that?
I did not. All I had at the time was a track phone anyway, and so whenever I went, I actually fully relied on. Because I was in my early teens when I went.
Okay.
So I fully relied on the people who brought me, mm-hmm. like their location services, gotcha. Because I knew the person that was over the trip mm-hmm. and was going to be near them the entire time. So rather than keep my phone on me, I relied on them for that.
I think it's really important though that you do something to make sure that you do have, especially as an adult, that you do have a
yes.
know, a way to contact.
It is important to note I was out. Not an adult, and yeah. I was under the supervision of adults who were more experienced in that area than me.
Yeah.
So when you go, you need different rules.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in some cases, this is as simple as just switching a SIM out for your phone and maybe getting temporary service or something for the area, but definitely don't, it's worth whatever it's going to cost. It's, you know, it's worth to kind of go ahead and just make sure that you have service in an area. Cause, yeah, that's rather important that if you need to, you can call out.
I think we can just generally go back to our typical self-defense tips, like walk with confidence, just knowing your surroundings, being aware, because that's something that we always come back to, no yeah. matter what country we're in, where we are.
Human nature is human nature.
Right. Trust yeah. your gut. Yeah. I mean, it's still something that we just go right back to the basics of being aware and watching what's going on around you.
It would be a decent idea to get involved in maybe a discussion board mm-hmm. and ask for people who have been to that location before on what they learned about the culture that would help yeah. you when you go.
Yeah.
So, like, things you wish you'd known when you traveled here. Because some of it may just be you don't make eye contact, you know, New York. You just don't make eye contact with people on the sidewalk. Or there would be some where it's like you're supposed to make eye contact. Because mm-hmm. Every country is different. So, not just the getting in conversation with people who were there before. You need to be sure of the actual self-defense laws in that country as well.
Yes, that is something that...
Because, you know, there are some countries where you're not allowed to carry anything that would yep. pertain to self-defense. Yep. And you would just need to know what those laws are.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point that honestly I didn't even think about writing down for a topic point. But it's super important. Number one, can you travel with whatever particular self-defense weapon that you would prefer to travel with? And number two, is it legal to have and to carry in that nation or area that you're going to be in? Because like you said, there's certain places where if you carry anything with the intent of it being a weapon, then it is illegal.
Yeah, even Kylie's Munio keychain. We've already discussed that the Munio keychain can be carried on airplanes and everything. Mm-hmm. So if you're going overseas by plane, it's something that you are able to carry.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that the location you're traveling to would yeah. allow something like that.
Yep.
So just because you can do it on the plane doesn't mean that you can do it in the actual country itself.
Yep. So research. That's kind of the big thing there.
Make sure you're researching using trusted sites.
Yeah.
And you're not just, finding some random dude on Facebook from that country going, "Hey, I'm about to travel to your country. What do I need to know?"
Or Jim Bob went over here and he took this thing and it's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. I apologize to anybody named Jim Bob.
I don't know that there are as many Jim Bobs out there as there is, as there used to be.
All right. So, and kind of going along the same thing, think about something like InvisiWare. So if you have your...
And make sure that it's connected to a device that will work in that area. That's another important
thing.
That's
why it's even certain. Yeah. Well, with something like InvisiWare, you have that. It's connected by Bluetooth to your phone. As long as your phone has service, you're good. And then if you're overseas and you're somewhere and you have an emergency and you double click, it may not go to police there, but it will still send out the GPS location to those five trusted contacts. And if they
may have to change those contacts depending on you're traveling with.
You may, but at least they know, oh crap, something's going down, and then they can start reaching out and stuff. So that is super, super important as well.
And share your information, your travel plans, with a family member or a friend that's not going with you ahead of time before you leave, so they know you know, where you're expected to be.
Do y'all know how many things y'all have picked up on that I meant to write down? Both of you have now brought something up that I was like, oh, yeah, that was should have gone down that I didn't get.
Onto well, I mean, we have traveled overseas, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look at that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, okay. But, yeah. If you're interested in something like Invisible, they do have stuff for men, women, and, you know, both. Go to Invisible, that's InvisiWear.com, and use the coupon code IMPACTDEFENSE because that will get you 10% off.
If you guys are enjoying this podcast, go ahead and go over to Apple Podcast or any podcast catcher that you may have. Rate us, and please, 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 write a review.
How many more times, how many more pleases is she going to add to this thing?
I was just going to go ahead and just get comfortable here and wait.
Well, Gentry, thank you for joining us again.
Oh, you're welcome.
We really appreciate it. Enjoy, always enjoy when you're on the podcast. So, all right, guys, thank you very much. And I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you learned something. And we will see you in the next one.